And don't you?
I do.
They're a pleasure to work with. Well, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It's the verse we actually read for our Advent verse that Christy read a little bit earlier. So we've already been introduced to it. We're talking about our focus for Advent is that Christmas leads us home. And that chapter 14 of John that I talked about in communion speaks just about that. Jesus is preparing to go to the cross. Why? Because he's going to prepare a place for you and for me. Relationship has always been at the heart of what God has done for us. He created us in the Garden of Eden for what? For relationship, for fellowship. Yeah. Why did Jesus come back to this earth? Because our fellowship had been broken through our sin, and God wanted to restore fellowship and relationship. What better picture is there of intimate, loving, trusting, supporting relationship than the home? Or should be, right? It's not always, but that's the way it was designed and created. Christmas leads us home. Jesus leads us home. Now, guaranteed, the road there has lots of twists and turns, doesn't it? How many people could testify to that? All kinds of turns in the road that you just were not expecting. But as we found in communion, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, you trust in me. And as we saw in this verse, that's the way it was for Joseph. Joseph had a dream for himself, didn't he? Things were looking good for Joseph. He was a carpenter. He was probably beginning his trade or had been in this trade for a bit, preparing himself for what? Plans like anybody else. Yeah, he wanted to get married, he'd have a family. This was Joseph's plan. He's like, I'll be a carpenter. I found me a beautiful bride that I love, and we're going to get married and have kids, and life's going to be good. And I have a future. This is what my plans are. I'm looking forward to this life together. And then there was the conversation that changed his life, changed his plans. Everything that he had in mind all of a sudden was like, wait, what? Matthew describes it this way. It says, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. That when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, engaged at that point in time, before they came together, she was found to be with child. She was pregnant. Surprise, surprise. But it goes on to say, with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, public shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So here's Joseph. Everything's going great. Then there was this conversation. Maybe it looked something like this. Joseph, I have to tell you something, and please don't be upset. I'm pregnant. But it's not what you think. Here's the great explanation. An angel visited me, and God spoke to me, and he said that the Holy Spirit would come on me, and he did, and the power of the Most High just kind of came over me. And then the Spirit and the angel said, the Holy One born of you will be called, what? The Son of God. And I'm just trying to picture Joseph. We don't see his face, but maybe Joseph is going, okay, so you were visited by an angel and God came and did what with you, and now you're pregnant, and you're going to have God's son? Yeah, says Mary. That's it. Wow. So here's the woman that he loved was going to marry. She was either completely out of her mind, or she cheated on him and is a complete liar. Or it could be true. This is what Joseph had. This is what he was wrestling with. He had tried to be a good follower of God, a good Jewish man, following God, following the law. And here was his hope turned upside down. I was trying to do what I'm supposed to. I was trying to be a good Jewish boy, good Jewish man. Why? Why did this happen? He's thinking. But, it says, being a just man, seeking to want to do what was right, rather than just taking her out into public and saying, she cheated on me, do you see what she did? He said, let's just call it off quietly. Let's just forget about it. Do you ever have the rug pulled out from underneath you? All of a sudden you're like, what? Where did that come from? Why did that happen? I didn't do anything to deserve this kinds of things, you know, sometimes. Well, Joseph was going to try to make the best of it, try to do it in the best way that he could without hurting the one that he loved, that he thought he loved. But here we see that he was more than just a law follower, a rule obeyer. He was more than that. Look at the first line here at verse 20. It says, but as he considered these things, as he considered these things, that word considered, and it says as or after, this is something that he was working through, and that word considered means to meditate on it, to reflect upon it, to just ponder on it. He took some time to think about this. He was a God seeker rather than an emotional reactor. You know the difference? Have you ever done one or the other? Have you ever been an emotional reactor before? Yeah. And you can tell the difference when you are taking the time to be a God seeker and saying, God, this is what my flesh and my emotions just want to go and react, but he took time to consider. He was a God seeker rather than just a rule follower. He could have just, well, the law says she cheated on me, I can call it off and divorce her and be done. That's what he was thinking about doing. I can think of dozens, I'm sure probably more, maybe I'm probably being kind on myself, of times that I didn't consider, I reacted. I had the emotional things and I didn't stop and say, God, what is going on here? But as I prayed on other times and stopped and considered, God changed my mind sometimes. Sometimes he changed my heart. Sometimes he convicted me that, you know, whoa, back up, son, because there's some things you need to do first. You've got some issues you need to work through. Sometimes he changed my mind. Sometimes he changed circumstances that he wouldn't have had time to change had I rushed ahead, right? Sometimes he says, just be still. Be quiet. Wait on me. Know that I am God. Wait. Trust me. You're going to need to wait. And God changes circumstances. Sometimes he changes the heart of the other person. Sometimes he changes my heart. So Joseph considered these things. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Well, that was, God did that in his time. It didn't happen immediately, did it? It says he considered these things as he considered them. The Lord appeared in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, another way, the Greek way of saying Joshua or Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. That's what Jesus means. It's a Greek word way of saying Yeshua, Joshua, the Lord saves. You're going to call his name Yeshua, the Lord saves, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, that's Isaiah. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay, there's Joseph having a dream. What seemed crazy or insane or unbelievable or an out-and-out lie was now confirmed to him in a dream. Now think about that. It was a dream. Joseph woke up. Wow, what a dream. This really would make everything make sense. Or was it that pizza sat on the counter a little too long before I ate it yesterday? I mean, honestly, he had the choice of saying, this was a dream. Was it just in my head, or is this really real? He still had this, did not have a concrete something that was he could see, feel, and touch in front of him. He had a dream. Now, Mary had a dream and got pregnant. That was pretty real for her. She's like, I know I've never been with anybody. I'd remember that. And nope, she was pregnant. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he had to decide, what was he going to do with it? Was it a bad matzo ball, or was it God speaking? Well, when Joseph woke up in verse 24, it says, when he woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, as he was instructed. Still a walk of faith for him, right? He had a story, he had a dream, and he had hope, because he was a God seeker. And God has a way of taking those things that, for the natural mind, really, I don't know, that may or may not be real, but when the Spirit of God is in us and speaking to us, those things that for the unbeliever would be like, I don't know, maybe, maybe not, the Spirit speaks to us. Have you experienced the Spirit confirming something in your heart and mind where you're like, this is just God, I just know it because God has said it, this is real. It's the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And if God, the Spirit, is dwelling in you, as we've been talking about on Wednesday night in our forming class, will he not speak to you as well instead of just sit there in you? Of course he's going to speak to you. That's why he came. That's why Jesus sent him to dwell in us, so that he would guide us into truth and comfort us and counsel us and lead us. Of course he's going to speak, if we will learn to listen, right? Yeah. Well, that's what Joseph did. He took hope and he took Mary home and made her his wife. Now, that was still a walk of faith, because there was a lot more to come, right? Where did he end up going? To Bethlehem, because all of a sudden there's a census and he had to take his pregnant wife all the way up to Bethlehem, up north. Oddly fulfilling biblical prophecy. What a God not odd thing, right? But that wasn't the end of it. After there, it was another dream. Joseph, take your wife and your child, flee, because Herod is going to seek his life. Off they went to Egypt. Now that could have been somewhere between and within the first couple of years of Jesus' life. They don't nail that down. But off they went to Egypt, and they spent several months to, you know, a year, depending upon when they actually left. Where do they live in Egypt? I don't know. Did they know anybody? I don't know. This was a faith walk, right? In a dream, angel said, go to Egypt, and says, all right, he's starting to get the idea that God is speaking, God is leading, and he better listen when God speaks. Then back to Nazareth, where they lived, proved that prophecy wrong. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yep. The Savior of the world came out of Nazareth, according to the scriptures and the prophets. So Joseph, in the midst of the chaos that was his, what had become his dreams that he had all worked out, wow, did they change? And yet, we saw God working in the midst of all of them. We all have our plans changed, our dreams become something, they start looking like something completely different. Those happen, those things happen. And like Joseph, we need to, in those moments, take hope. Joseph took Mary home, took the doubt that he, I'm sure, still struggled with, particularly at the beginning. Took the ridicule and shame from people and from others because now they weren't married. Mary's already pregnant. That was a big, big thing back then. Took the shame and ridicule from the community. Took on the role of being the stepfather to Emmanuel, God, the Son of God. Anybody feel up to that? I mean, could you imagine? Okay, this is obviously true. This is obviously God because of all the things that are happening here. I truly am going to be the stepfather to the Son of God. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Took hope that he wasn't going to do it perfectly. How many people know that Mary and Joseph were not perfect parents? They were just human beings. They were not perfect parents. God was okay with that. He can use imperfect people. Amen? How many people believe that? Oh, all hands go up, right? Thank God that he can use imperfect people. He says, you know what? You're going to get it wrong. Just walk by faith. Take the next step. When you take that step and go, oops, I really made a mess of that. God says, well, here, let me come alongside. You want me to help you clean it up? Oh, please help me clean this up. All right, let's do it together. Now, let's keep going. But I might screw it up again. I don't know if I can take that next step. We fixed it, right? Trust me. Take the next step. But I might screw it up, God. It's okay. I'm with you. Take the next step. Okay. I will take the next step of faith, right? Until I make another mistake and God shows himself to be faithful and walk with me and say, let's clean things up. God would help him and walk with him every step of the way. It comes back to the verse that we talked about in communion. Just don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God? Yeah, believe in me. I conquered sin and death. There is hope for home in eternity. I've made a way. I've broken the power of sin and death over you. Trust me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. For there and for here, there's hope for home. That eternal home and compare to this home? It's the reality of infinite years as compared to the 100 years or so that we get to live here on earth. What reality is more important? Well, and the reality is that what we do with this 100 years is what will impact that next 100 zillion years, right? So let's use this 100 years wisely. Make the decision first, Jesus, by grace you have saved me. I'm going to put my faith in you. My trust is in you. That is salvation. That is how you begin to become a Christian. That is how you begin to walk with Jesus. Jesus, forgive me. I'm going to trust what you did for me on the cross. And then you just begin following, learning, loving him. That's the faith walk. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty powerful. And that hope for eternity translates in hope for our home here today. Because there's triumphs in this life and there's trials. And things don't always look the way we expected them to. And just like with Joseph, we walk by faith. We be God seekers, not rule followers. And he walks us through all the challenges of this life. And he never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. So don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe in Jesus. Believe in the Savior, the Son. Believe in the Holy Spirit that dwells in you by faith. That he truly doesn't just, he didn't just take up a spot in your heart to kick back and watch TV, right? He came to dwell in you for the purpose of being in you, filling you, empowering you, bringing you wisdom, giving you guidance and direction. That's why he's there, and he will if we would simply say, Holy Spirit, show me, show me. And just trust in this. Trust in his word. Don't listen to the world's ideas that this is old-fashioned, it's on the wrong side of history, it's from way back then, and it doesn't really apply to today. Don't believe it. This is the truth that God has given us. It's as valid and real and alive as it was when he first gave it. Amen? And you trust and follow this, will all of your problems go away? No, we already established that. But it's the difference between walking with God and walking through them alone. Trust him. Follow him. Follow him. Well, let's close today in just a moment of prayer. Let's bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord, in a room this size with these many people, I know that there are those that can identify with Joseph and how things have not always worked the way we planned, and we're dealing with the fallout. Lord, you're not surprised. Thank you, Lord, that you're not looking down on us, wringing your hands, wondering, well, now what? You're right there, your hands and arms outstretched, saying, come on, follow me, take my hand. We will walk through this together. Trust me. You trust that God is there, right? Trust me. I promise never to leave you. I will not forsake you. Trust me. Lord, for those that have struggled to let go of the problem, release it so that they could take your hand, Lord, I pray that just in their mind's eye, maybe with opening of their hands, to just signify, God, I'm just letting this go. So with empty hands, we can take your hands. Lord, would you just take each person, Lord, that has been hanging on to wrestling with something, Father, that they would just cast it before you and take your hand and find you to be faithful as you lead them through this. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone here that has just made that decision to release something and take Jesus' hand to allow him to lead you, just raise your hand up. Yes, yes, thank you. Yes, yes. Many of us just said, yes, Lord, I right now I'm releasing this, giving it to you, and I'm going to take your hand. Lead me, follow me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for how you're going to be everything that these dear brothers and sisters need. Thank you for your power that is at work in us who believe. And thank you, Lord, for how you're going to give them strength to wait upon you to see how you work out, just like you did with Joseph, how you work out even in the times when nothing makes sense, that you are still there and you are still faithful. We love you for that. Love you for your faithfulness. We cast our troubles on you, so Lord, our hearts won't be troubled, that we can just put our whole focus on believing in you today. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, thank you for how you're going to walk with us. All this we pray by faith in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Walk by faith as Joseph did.